This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Мною принято решение о проведении специальной военной операции.
We are under attack. It is an attack against Western democracies and on the institutions that bind them.
What Russia is much more interested in doing is depicting the West as a failure.
Regiment President Yanukovych, they were trying to protect their enormous wealth.
This is Kremlin File.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Kremlin Files Week in Review. Olga, we're back at it.
Hi. Yes, we are. Yes, we're doing this all week long.
Exactly, exactly. And this week was particularly, full of events. It seems like we can never rest. Can I say that? Can I say that
we
it's every day, 24 hours a day. It's incredible, incredible.
No, 100%. I mean, Russia definitely keeps everyone busy. And when everything is said and done, I think they're going to have to pay, to give back our time and for all the chaos that they're creating in the world.
Yep, I think so. I'm with you.
And war crimes.
And war crimes, exactly. So I guess I'll kick it off, shall I? Okay. I'd like to begin this week with a story that was passed on to me about a Russian oligarch, Gennady Timoshenko, who has made the headlines in Finnish media in recent days because he's got dual citizenship. Okay. Yeah, I know. For those of you who can't see Olga, she is now shaking her head. And he's right for his dual citizenship and his private army. Now, the Helsingin Sanomat reported on Monday that the Ministry of the Interior intends to find out how, the citizenship applications of the entire Timoshenko family were processed in Finland. And there's one of the MPs of the parliament who has submitted a written question on the subject, this week. In which he's actually asking the government, if they are ready to take measures so that dual citizens who have committed war crimes and other criminal activities in other countries could also lose their Finnish citizenship. I can't believe that this guy is there. I really cannot. Incredible story.
I can.
I know. You've been following these guys for years. I get it.
The past few decades, they were able to buy them their way into every country and, get citizenships and whatnot. And for people who don't know, Timoshenko is one of the closest allies from St. Petersburg days of Putin's piece of shit thug, who was sanctioned, and he literally, was moving the Kremlin money for a very long time through a company in Europe, well, several companies. And then he got sanctioned. So, I mean, he is like really, really one of the insiders of Putin. If you were to put the, top five surrounding Putin, he would be one of them. And the fact that he has citizenship in Finland is absurd.
Yeah, but exactly. That's why we brought it up. Okay, over to you.
My happy story for the week. Ukraine spent a few days launching drones. They hit several oil refineries across Russia, striking very deep inside of Russia, which really was amazing. And then on top of it, a Russian military plane. I don't think related to Ukraine. I think just Russia keeps losing these planes. Crashed around the same time, and then you had these. I don't even know how to explain them, but they're Kremlin, I guess, anti-Kremlin saboteurs who breached the borders and claim to have captured a few cities on the Russian side, particularly in Kursk and Volgograd. So I mean, it's interesting because you have Congress still stalling and not providing aid. You have Ukrainians on the front lines with rationing ammo and barely having any ammunition, but these asymmetric tactics are proving to be very, very good
Yeah.
and giving Ukraine a
Yeah.
chance and giving Russia a taste of its own medicine.
That's right. Now, these oil refineries, just to add just a little bit, these oil refineries, obviously they're there to, no, for the actual war and for domestic consumption as well. So this is hitting them, okay, where it actually hurts, okay.
I actually wrote on Twitter, I said, since the international community can't seem, to enforce sanctions, at least Ukraine is now enforcing sanctions because they took out the capacity. And that's, I would say probably 10 or 15% of
Yeah.
Russia's oil production.
Yeah.
And can I do the next one just to tie in with this? So one of the
Yes.
facilities hit was Lukoil, and then the next morning the vice president of Lukoil, Vitaly Robertis, died at the age of 53. So Lukoil released a company press release that he was dead, and then eventually details came out that he was found dead in his office and committed quote unquote suicide. So we know what that means. He had a
That's
special
it.
visit.
That's right. He had a
And
special
he's like
visit.
the 50th he's like the
Yeah.
50th businessman or high-level businessman or government official
Yep.
who has died under suddenly died under mysterious circumstances.
And that's number four. They've offed four of Lukoil's top men.
I think
This is
four or
number
five.
four. Then there were four before, and this is five. I heard four,
Yeah, I
but
think.
okay. All right. So let me pick up to what you were talking about before. You had mentioned about Ukraine having to ration ammunition. I just wanted a little update on the Czech Ammo Initiative, which is moving forward. Portugal, for example, signed up today. There's a little fun fact that is tied in with all of this. The Czech Prime Minister, Peter Fiala, avoided mentioning some of the details about the initiative itself during a meeting that involved the Slovak counterpart, Roberto Fico. And this was reported, okay, on March the 14th, citing an unnamed diplomatic source in Czechia. I had also read about this in another, okay, publication as well. So they're keeping information from him, and we know why.
Yes, he makes up the axis of evil in Europe between him and Vucic from Serbia and
That's right.
Orban from Hungary.
Just
Yeah, I
incredible.
would not share any
No.
information with them unless you want to deliver straight to the Kremlin's desk. Topping off on that news, Denmark is providing Ukraine $336 million worth of a new military aid package, and the White House, due to contract negotiations, was able to well announced that they will provide $300 million in weapons in a weapons package to Ukraine. So you have all these weapons coming, and interestingly enough, this morning I saw that Greece, just recently, they were there with Zelensky and Russia practically assassinated both, is also providing a weapons package that seems to be very serious. So you have a
Excellent.
lot of weapons
Yeah.
that are
Strange.
going to be heading to Ukraine.
Yeah.
We need way, way, way more though.
Yeah. I'll expand on what you're saying a little later, okay, in another little story that we're following. But I just wanted to bring this up, which is the US Treasury has warned Austria's Raiffeisenbank International that it risks being cut off from the US financial system if it was helping to fund Russia's military. Okay. Apparently, the OTP Bank in Hungary is under the same similar risk. And we know that, no, these are, Orban has been pushing at the European level to get OTP, okay, off the list of banks that, let's say, aren't being monitored, so on and so forth. So we are, no, let's see what happens with this one.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. And I know Treasury has been taking, you know, these violations very seriously, as has, you know, U.S. Department of Justice. So I think, you know, between Treasury issuing secondary sanctions now with, you know, companies, individuals and countries like, you know, that are assisting Russia, and between going after banks and, you know, it's a good step finally,
finally.
That we're taking.
Yep.
In more interesting news, NATO seems to really have woken up over the past few weeks. And there was an announcement that they are ready to spend half of $500 billion on defense, which will be four times more than Russia. So this is something
excellent
interesting
move.
To watch. And
excellent
yes.
news. Excellent news. I wanted to add a little something to this, that there's a report that came out today about NATO perceptions on security and defense. Okay, so I looked at just the executive summary of it, and the findings show a significant agreement that NATO membership makes foreign attack less likely. So they're happy with this. 61%, okay, said this, and it's consistent with 2022. So things have not changed. The perceptions are there. Support for increased defense spending, which is what we are talking about, has risen, all right, 5 percentage points. It's hovering at about 40% all over. But let's remember that NATO membership is wide. The perception of threat, threat perception, let's say to risk and all of that kind of thing in the southern European countries is much, no, less than in the countries that are closer, right, to Russia itself. So there could be a disparity there. I haven't looked at all of the numbers of them, but I will. And then a majority of allied respondents agreed with their country continuing to provide support for Ukraine. That's at 63%, very high. And really, they need everything they can get. Today, Odessa was hit with missiles two times. They did a first strike, and then they waited for the emergency services to come, and they hit again. Right now, the death toll stands at 16 people killed, 46 injured among 7 rescue workers. So this is something that has to absolutely stop. It's heartbreaking every single time when we see these kind of strikes. So this happened in Odessa today, and I hope they get going with all of these promises. Back to you, Olga.
Yeah, and Russia is known not only for strategically targeting civilians, I mean, this is their target, but also doing double taps. And they've done it in Syria. They do it in Ukraine, where first they strike, you know, a civilian target like an apartment building. They wait for rescuers to come, and then they strike it immediately again in order to kill the rescuers. So this is something that, you know, they continue to do, and why they should have been designated as a state sponsor of terrorism and a terrorist state a long time ago. I don't know what happened with all the talk about that happening.
Yeah. And this makes even more, just to top off this and so we can close it off, it makes me even more angry when I, this week, for example, Pope Francis was making holy waves once again. I'm without words. I'm Catholic, by the way. I'm Catholic, and I cannot fathom morally how someone can take this stand. I understand all of the historic institutional excuses that people use. I do understand them. At the same time, I'm horrified. Okay, morally, I'm horrified. I have to really admit this. I won't hide it. But anyway, back to you,
And
Anna.
just to catch up, Pope Francis said that Ukraine should raise a
Yes.
white flag and negotiate with Russia. So this
That's
is what
right.
Mo was talking about.
Thank you.
And I mean, I'm not sure exactly what negotiations there can be. And then I guess I'll move into the next story. Russia Security Council slash former president slash former prime minister slash Putin puppet. Dmitry Medvedev wrote, a peace proposal, I guess mocking the Pope. He
Maybe
wrote
that's
a,
what it was for.
I mean,
Probably.
probably.
He's probably making fun of him, saying, here's your peace proposal. Here it is. Here it is.
Yeah, so he wrote a 7-point plan. I'm not going to go through the 7 points,
No.
but basically it begins with former Ukraine, that Ukraine does not exist, that the UN must expel Ukraine as a country, that no one in the international community and no global institution can recognize Ukraine as a country, belongs to Russia, that the UN needs to send, a force once Russia, this is Medvedev's words, once Russia conquers Ukraine, that the UN should send a force to help denazify Ukraine. So, frankly, this is the negotiations of basically reaffirming what we have all been saying for the past 2 years, met with, criticism by Westerners, is we are calling this a genocide. Russia, on every chance they get, they tell you that we don't think Ukraine should exist, Ukrainians shouldn't exist, and that's it. And again, it's not only with Ukraine, because I mean, this applies to far more countries across Europe, primarily in, under the sphere of influence in the Soviet Union. But there you go. There's your peace plan. Just, basically Ukraine doesn't exist, and end of story.
Yep, let's send it to the Pope. There we go.
Yeah.
And let's send Medvedev another case of wine from his winery in Italy. Okay, in Tuscany he's
Yeah.
got one. It's close to my house, by the way. Interesting. I have thoughts.
Seriously.
Have thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Medvedev is known every time if he's making a statement and awake, that means he's drunk. So when he crawls out of his drunk stupor, we have these sociopathic imperialist statements coming out.
Okay, now on to, let's see here. Viktor Orban, okay, was in the United States, as we know. Last week we talked about this, right? He was in at Mar-a-Lago, and he had a conversation with Trump. Okay, and basically he said, commenting on what Trump actually said. He said he, referring to Trump, will not give a penny into the Ukraine-Russia war, and therefore the war will end. End quote. Okay, and this he said on state television on Sunday morning. All right, last Sunday morning. Then, quote, as it is obvious that Ukraine on its own cannot stand on its feet. If the Americans do not give money and weapons, and also the Europeans, then the war will be over. And if the Americans do not give money, the Europeans are unable to finance the war on their own, and then the war will end. End quote. Okay. So, of course, here he is. All right. It's a mirror that I have no idea how he is still in the EU. I do understand why he's still in the EU, but absolutely incredible. And this hooks up with something that we'll talk about later, to do with Macron's statements. All right. And I think he almost did it to sort of like, okay, let's get back in there. But I'm going to throw it over to you, Olga. Any Any comment on Orban?
Well, we know three people who will accept Medvedev's peace plan. It'll be Trump, Orban, and the Pope, because they all seem to be on the same page.
That's right. They all came out this week. There we go.
Yeah, all on the same page with this. Ukraine should just be swallowed by Russia and a sovereign country to disappear. And this is interesting because, I saw a lot of people criticizing Orban's, rightfully so, Orban's comments. My message is to U.S. law enforcement, what in the hell was Tucker doing in Moscow a few weeks later? Orban is at Trump's Mar-a-Lago. And for those who don't know, Tucker Carlson's father used to lobby for Orban, as well as Bannon, Trump's former campaign manager slash, whatever he is, fascist lunatic. This Orban connection goes very deep, very long, and I have my personal opinion, they are plotting for US election. That would be my opinion. Logistically plotting on how to overthrow the US election and get Biden out. So, anyway, so there's new news that came out on Smirnoff, and it's that an American company paid Smirnoff in 2020 $600,000. The company's name is Educational Transformation Technologies, and this company is connected to a UK company that is owned by Trump Business Associates in Dubai. And this is the same year after he received this money. So now you have a UK company connected to Trump's associates in Dubai, and then a US company after he was paid the $600,000. This is when he began lying to the FBI on the new information that he received from Russian intelligence. So something to keep an eye to see if how this leads to
How it's going to go.
Trump's fingerprints in this, which we already know with Giuliani, he was wasn't too private about working with Russian intelligence, to concoct this nonsense.
Speaking of Russian intelligence, Austria, has miraculously, can we say, now Olga and I are both laughing at this story because they kicked out two Russian diplomats, air quotes there for you, over actions, air quotes, incompatible with their diplomatic status. This was the Heute newspaper reported this on March 13, citing the Austrian foreign minister. And Olga and I are laughing because it's like two, there's about maybe 200. I don't know how many they have there. Vienna historically, has been a hotbed of Russian intelligence operations. There was a story that we also followed last year. Do you remember, Olga, that they had satellites like they do in Moldova, that all over the place on the actual building itself? They're getting signals intelligence. We know that they are operating, and Austria is famous for it. I mean, there are so many articles out there that you can read about the history of no Russian intelligence in Austria. But it was really funny, like the two, and anybody that knows this story knows it's sort of like they start laughing because it's like, okay, that's great, Austria.
I'm laughing more so, not the fact that Austria is a hotbed for Russian spies, that they didn't put them into the parliament. Because I would think that they would, I would think that they'd make them part, in some capacity of the Austrian
Actually,
government,
you're
but.
absolutely right. There's a great article that I haven't been able to get. I have to get somebody who actually has it, and I may feature it next week. We may talk about it in Filter, Austria. It's an Austrian. They're doing some. They had done a deep dive into exactly what you're talking about. So I'll try to get the article and go through. It's a long read, but I wasn't able, to get the full copy. I just got a few paragraphs and that's it. So very interesting. We'll follow up with it next week on that
Can't
one.
wait.
All right.
In shameful news, European companies continue to violate sanctions. And I mean, we've had story after story of US companies and European companies, you know, violating sanctions and either directly or indirectly supplying military components to Russia's Ministry of Defense. And sometimes they go through third-party countries and whatnot. In the latest investigation by Moscow Times, Russian service and Arctida NGO, they found that European companies have supplied over $630 million worth of equipment, according to the current exchange rate. To Russia's Arctic LNG 2 project since Russia's full-scale invasion in January 2022. Yeah. So again, you have, you know, another gross violation of sanctions, and we really need to, you know, tie up these loopholes, and or Ukraine just needs to continue sending drones.
I think so. That's what I think. I think it works much better. Okay, and a lot faster.
Except they can't do it in European capitals. So
they can't.
So Europe and US really need to, you know,
yeah,
they need to take more stringent actions to stop these violations.
Definitely, and I hope that that's what they were talking about today. Okay. In the Weimar Triangle meet, and this was between France, Germany, and Poland, Olaf Scholz, the chancellor, met with le président Macron, which I'll talk about more in a little bit second, and also with, okay, Donald Tusk. And, of course, Scholz opens
not
press
Trump.
Conference.
Please
did I say
don't
Trump?
Scare Europeans. You're like Donald Trump.
Did
don't
I say Trump?
Your...
Oh, geez. Okay, sorry. I'm really, I want to apologize to all of our Polish listeners. I'm sorry. Okay. Donald Tusk. Donald Tusk. Sorry about that. You can see where my head is. Anyway, getting back to Olaf. He opened the press conference in Berlin by saying that it is clear, it's klar, that Germany, France, and Poland support Ukraine, but it's also clear that the countries, again, okay, because Olaf is just shaking in his boots for some reason, I have no idea why, but anyway, the countries are not, okay, at war, all right, with Russia. He said the countries would buy more weapons for Ukraine on the world market, and this ties in. This is actually separate, by the way, from the Czech, okay, initiative. So this is a separate thing that they're going to be building, build up weapons production also in Ukraine. Macron said that the countries will continue. Of course, he said the exact same thing, and he repeated something that he said last night, which I'll talk about in a second. Donald Tusk described today's meeting as a new beginning for the Weimar Triangle and said that the three would meet again in the summer in Poland. Okay, so that's that. And this, as I said, is tied, I think, with the European initiative. Okay, Thierry Breton has been traveling around Europe. He's visited 30 manufacturers in the EU. He has identified bottlenecks that need to be cleared urgently. And this is something that is also separate. Okay, these are the two things that are being worked on at the European level. I wish they had begun a lot earlier than this. For those of you who were listening last night or watching last night television, Macron, okay, did an interview. And all I can say is, ooh la la. It was good to hear those words. It was good to see. Okay. Look, he has been criticized at home and abroad for saying a lot of things. In fact, Donald Tusk said, okay, less words, guys, and no more action, which I agree with totally. But I think it was important for the French population, okay, at home to understand fully, okay, what the security risks, okay, what kind of security risks France is running, and therefore Europe. He repeated that Ukraine is part of Europe, and no, that there is a duty to protect it and to help in its war. There are other things that he said that I would just like to highlight. The security, as I said, of Europe and the French are at stake. In Ukraine, if Russia wins, the lives of the French change and Europe's credibility is reduced to zero. We can think that Vladimir Putin will stop there. Do we think he's going to stop there? And also, we must not be weak, Macron argued. We have set too many limits with words. 2 years ago, we said we would never send tanks. Then we did, and that was for Olaf. 2 years ago, we said we would never send medium-range missiles, and then we did, and that's for Olaf again. So there were no little jabs here and there. I hope that they have had a very fruitful meeting right today in Berlin. Again, we'll be let's see if this momentum picks up because it's just I mean this is European security. We know what the risks are. All right, in the future.
I'll put it into the show notes and want to discuss briefly an investigation that the insider did. We all know for a long time there's been, a very close working relationship between Russia and Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations in the Middle East and Africa, and frankly, every terrorist organization Russia's connected to around the globe. But here they did a deep dive into basically the current situation of how Russia is collaborating with Hezbollah, and they want fighters from Hezbollah to send to Ukraine, and in return they'll give them weaponry and missiles and everything to escalate the attacks against Israel. So it's good that this is again being looked into. Because I mean, in Syria, Russia and Hezbollah worked so closely together, along with the IRGC, with Iran. They worked so closely together that they even had like joint command centers, which, at the time, a decade ago, was shocking that they were setting these centers up and that they were being so, trustful with their intelligence tactics and operations and whatnot. So, I mean, this is something definitely to keep an eye on, and it just shows you how when you ignore, these terrorist organizations or terrorist countries, dictatorships, this is what happens. We're at a point now that they are all very publicly banding together, assisting each other with their, ongoing wars, and that's it. So, something to keep an eye on.
Definitely, definitely. And using all sorts of different tactics that they're sharing together, there is a story that came out in AP. Now, this is something that we also talked to. With Eto, okay, which in is something that is going to be discussed in our upcoming episode with her, but this is about AI affecting elections worldwide. Okay, these kind of AI generated videos have been cited now in during the Indian elections in Moldova, Eastern Europe countries, and also in other areas as well, Slovakia, Bangladesh, Taiwan, Indonesia. This is starting to be a problem. And they are not just using videos, they're also audio, as we heard, okay, with the robocall, the Biden robocall in the past, in the past little while.
Speaking of the axis of evil, back to that, China, Iran, and Russia held joint naval exercises this week in the Gulf of Oman. They have more than 20 ships, support vessels, and combat boats from the three countries participating, as well as naval helicopters.
To finish off on a good note, okay, bittersweet, let's just put it that way. 20 Days in Mariupol won the Oscar for Best Documentary. Please, please, everyone, if you have not seen it, I've put it on my Substack various times. You must see this documentary. It is harrowing, but it is something that one must sit through to understand what happened in Mariupol, what is still happening in Mariupol. And it's shocking, actually, that Disney, the night of the Oscars, that afterwards, Disney cut the awarding of the no 20 days in Mariupol for best documentary. Ukraine's broadcaster and Ukraine's National Council of Television and Radio Broadcasting has written a letter to the management of the Walt Disney Company asking them to create a new international version of the Oscar ceremony broadcast that includes the presentation of the award, okay, for 20 days in Mariupol. That's actually quite shocking to me that they would not include this in the, for the international clips.
It's disturbing, and just, for everyone who does watch 20 Days in Mariupol, I just want people to remind that this is just a tiny, tiny glimpse of what happened in many villages across Ukraine. I mean, this is just, just to see what Russia did. And I mean, this is happening and has happened across so many villages and towns that Russia has gone through. So, I mean, just this in itself is horrific, heartbreaking, infuriating. But then when you think that this is just a snapshot of the rest of Ukraine, I mean, that makes it even, And then to end, normally I really honestly don't want to cover Russia's sham elections, or as I call it, theatrical performance to keep Putin in power. But these elections are on fire. They caught my attention, literally. So before this recording, I checked Russian media outlets, well, opposition outlets and Telegram channels, and it was really fascinating. Apparently, you have some kind of a protest going on inside of Russia, where they are already, at least at several locations, have set the boxes with the voting ballots on fire.
And there's
In
also
other
the ink.
locations,
Another location at St. Petersburg, they've got a video that I saw with this woman that poured in ink inside it. It's going on also in other locations, right?
So there's been interesting developments. I, frankly wasn't going to even pay attention to this nonsense, the election voting, quote unquote, starts today and ends on Sunday. Normally in other quote unquote elections, or whatever you want to call them, usually you have just people stuffing ballots in these boxes, but this time they're setting the ballots on fire, which is going to give Russia's security services definitely more to do over the weekend.
That's right.
So this is interesting. On a more horrific note, in Russian occupied territories, temporarily occupied, if we get weapons, Russia has is forcing voting there, and I mean these like Ukrainians are forced to go into these polls with literally people standing with machine guns over them and making sure that they mark the ballots. So I mean, this is in horrific news, and this is why Ukraine needs all the weapons as quick as possible so they can liberate these towns under Russia's control, and and free Ukrainians. Every single day that Ukrainians are under Russian control, they're being tortured, they're being silenced, they're being disappeared, raped. I mean, the horrors, kidnapped into Siberia to be re-educated. The horrors happening inside these occupied territories are pretty much what 20 Days in Mariupol shows. So frankly, we need these territories liberated, and we need to re return Ukrainians to Ukraine, and so they could be protected by Ukraine and get
That's right.
Russia off. So
So let's wrap it up, Olga. And this has been Kremlin Files Week in Review. You can go over to our Substack to find all the links to the stories that we've talked about today. Also, go over to your favorite podcast, your preferred podcast platform to listen to this or to all the other, okay, interviews that we've been doing. And that's about it. Olga, any last words?
yeah, Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and look out for our latest episode that just dropped. It's part two with Ilya Zaslavsky on Russia's Kremlin guards. It's a really, really good two-part episode talking about, you know, how Russia's businessmen are frontmen for the Kremlin, the operations that they have carried out across Europe, U.S., and also we get into how to what steps can be taken in order to stop Russia from violating sanctions, because there's still a whole lot of work to do on that front.
So, okay. All right. So see everybody next week, and bye for now.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to help us out with our independent work, please subscribe to Kremlin File on Substack and on our YouTube channel. Kremlin File is hosted by Olga Lautman and me, Monique Kamada. Our production team is headed by Maddie Kaparov, and the theme music by Oreste Kamada. So please don't forget to visit our Kremlin File Substack for links to our socials and to wherever you'd like to listen to podcasts.